come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength." In Luke 20:27, and by the way, those of you who are new, I don't know if you know, in your book, there is a page that is ready for you to take notes on. What page is that, ladies? On page 12, there's a page just for tonight's lesson, so. And in Luke 20:27, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength." In Mark 12:30, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." In Deuteronomy 6:5, God said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." I think God wants us to get it. Be all in. Be all in. Love Him with everything that's in you. Be completely in. It starts in the heart. We accept Christ as our Savior. It moves to the seat of our emotion. You know, when we talk about here, that we talk about this as being our soul. This is who we are. This is where our emotions show up. You ever notice when you're angry and it just turns my stomach? It just, you know, I'm my stomach's tied in knots. That's the seat of who I am. Right there. And because I have accepted Jesus into my heart and allowed Him to be over my whole life, it changes my mind, it changes the way that I think, and it changes who I am, and that mindset gives me strength. Because, ladies, we're going to need some strength. We've got some time coming. I almost want to get a southern accent right now. I'm telling you, God is doing something, and He's doing something amongst us women. I'm looking around at the number of women that are speaking these days and the things that they are teaching, and I am excited to see what God is doing. And I pray that He would move our hearts in the same way. So we want to give ourselves to Jesus. We want to live for more than just going to heaven. We want to live for more than just making it through today. Be all in. Be all in. Now, on New Year's Day, my internet went down. Yes, Happy New Year to me. And the thing that really I was kind of sad about was I literally live, and I call it wrong if you want, but I live for the parade on New Year's Day, and I didn't get to see the parade. And I was kind of bummed about it, but you know, it's a parade. That's all it is. It's just a parade. And so I sat down and I had some time with the Lord, and I wasn't even complaining to Him. I honestly was not even complaining to Him. I just sat down and had a conversation with the Lord. My phone was off, my internet was down, my TV wouldn't work, so I was just unplugged. And so I sat down with Him, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And you know what I say when I'm saying the Lord speaks to our heart? He speaks something, and you know that it's His voice. How do you know that it's His voice? Because you've invested time to find out what His voice sounds like. It was so funny this morning. I went out to get the ladies to come in, and it was funny because other ladies would go out there and they'd say it was time to come in, and the ladies, well, You guys, sometimes somebody else has to call you in. But they ignored him. And I went there, and I it was funny because as soon as I walked over there, everybody's face looked up at me. And I felt like that movie or the little clip of the shepherd when the shepherd was letting other people call his sheep and they wouldn't come. But as soon as he called his sheep, they lifted up their faces and ran toward him. That was kind of how it felt like this morning. But so what, and why did that get in there? Anyway, you're listening to the Lord. You're listening to the voice of the Lord. And you know it's him because you're used to hearing what he has to say. And so I heard the Lord say, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for you." Prepared for those who love him. Prepared for those who love him. Now, as I looked at that, and I knew this was from the Lord, it's 1 Corinthians 2:9, by the way, and I wrote it down, I texted it to Bethany, who I had been complaining to about my lack of being able to see the parade, and she sent me a printable sign of this verse so that I could put it up and I could be reminded of it when every time I saw it. I turned on K-Wave, and Greg Laurie said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Then I knew this is my verse for this year. I always ask the Lord for a verse for the year, and he is always faithful. This is my verse for the year. And so I pored over it. I sat and I wrote it down, and I wrote what I was thinking about it. And as I looked at it, I saw, you know, when we hear verses like that, we say something like, that means that God has great things prepared for me. He has great things prepared for me. And you know what? He does. But I also know, for me, I also know that he has spoken something to my heart, that he said, there's going to be some times this year that I have things prepared for you that you are not going to think are great. But I prepared them for you. I went before you. And I have prepared you for it. And what does this say to me? When I am in the midst of something, it tells me God is in control. No matter what the situation, no matter what's trying to take over my mind even right now, God is in control. And he's got this. And you are safe in his arms. And so that's just a, let's live for Christ this year. Let's be all in. And so that's the first portion of what I have to say to you. Now let's get into the introduction to the book of Acts. Okay, I find it interesting that the second book in a series should be so full of firsts. Why do I say that it is the second book in a series? Because the book of Acts is actually a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And so it picks up, the story picks up where the Gospel of Luke leaves off. Luke ends his Gospel with the ascension of Jesus into heaven. As Jesus rises up into the clouds, he gives a final instruction to his disciples. He tells them to go into Jerusalem and wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait. Don't you just love that? I want you to go to this place and I want you to wait. Well, how long would you like me to wait for? I want you to wait. But for how long? I want you to wait. You'll know. You'll know when I've said something to you. And so he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem, and he gave a promise. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you're going to have power to be what? To be my witnesses. That's what the power is all about. Afterward, they are to tell everyone what they have witnessed during those few years that they were with Jesus. So the first that are in Acts that Luke begins to share with us. First, the first sermon by a disciple. The first sermon by a disciple. The first miracle by a disciple. It was the healing of the lame man. It was done by Peter. The first sermon was by Peter as well. The first steps toward organizing the Christian movement. The Christian movement. I am from the Jesus movement. I loved being part of the Jesus movement, but I know that there are a lot of people who don't know what I'm talking about when I say the Jesus movement. And especially the younger people have no idea how amazing that time was. But just like that, and you know what? If you don't know what I'm talking about, would you get the movie Woodlawn? Get the movie Woodlawn and watch it, and I'm telling you, that's exactly what it was like. I mean, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but only a little one. When you're walking down the street, it was like somebody would come up to you and say, "How do I accept Jesus?" It was like that. There was a move of the Spirit that was so heavy and so exciting, we couldn't help but grow in Christ and cling to Him. And so that's in the movie Woodlawn, everything that happens in there is exactly the way that it really was. It really is true. My kids said, Was that really true? Yes, absolutely, just like that. And so, but they had to organize the Christian movement. And what happened with us in the Jesus movement? There came a time when they had to organize the Jesus movement. And then we have this church. And we have other churches around all over the world. It was the first orchestrated persecution of believers. The first orchestrated persecution of believers. It was the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who will be martyred. It's the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And it was the first missionary trip. But that first missionary trip, we look at it and we go, oh, yes, Paul made a missionary trip and he went from place to place and he was like a missionary. But when they were in Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen, the people feared, the Christians feared, they left Jerusalem. And when they left Jerusalem, they went on a mission trip. And so they went and they filled the great commission that Jesus had given them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go into all these lands that they ended up in. And so then as that was happening, it's also interesting to see how quickly the original disciples of Jesus become lost in the picture. Now, I want you to picture with me, if you will, because I read this illustration and it's so perfect in my mind. Imagine a dozen stalks of wheat and the cameras right in on those 12 stalks of wheat. And then the camera pans out and shows the whole field. Those 12 are still in there, but you've lost sight of them. They've been eclipsed. They've been overshadowed by the others that had gone in there. And that's what was happening. The disciples are still respected throughout their lifetimes as leaders of the movement, as men who had invested time with Jesus. They had, they could speak from experience everything that Jesus had done and said. But other leaders quickly rose up, as I just said. The book of Acts includes these wonder-working, charismatic leaders. Wonder-working, charismatic leaders. And the most famous of those we'll see is Paul. We probably already knew that, all of us. The book of Acts introduces them, and Acts also reminds us where this wonder-working power and spiritual strength comes from. Where does this happy feeling come from? Jesus. But there is power power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power comes from the blood of the Lamb, from the resurrected Savior. It's all from that. At each bend in the road, early believers turn for guidance to the Holy Spirit, and just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit never misleads. He will never mislead you. Jesus will never mislead you. Other voices might. Why? Because they are God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's Spirit made and makes bold witnesses out of ordinary people. Ordinary people. Every one of them that we'll see in the book of Acts were just ordinary people, just like us. That's a lot of rain. And you know what? Doesn't that just make you think about the Holy Spirit? Is that just so cool? I just was thinking about how Pastor Chuck used to say, the lady who was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she couldn't grasp it. And she talked about the mighty rushing wind, and a jet went over her house while she was praying for the Holy Spirit to come upon her. And a jet went over her house, and it was just enough noise to let her just break open and just have that, no, I've been baptized in your Holy Spirit. And it was just that kind, so that's made me think of that. I think I've had a lot of coffee. But anyway, so God's Spirit makes bold witnesses out of ordinary people, and that's the reason behind the phenomenal success of the first century church. And it is behind the phenomenal success of every church, even in this 21st century. It's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit. Or else, what are we doing here? What are we doing here if we're not loving the Lord and sharing Him with other people? And so there they are. Luke will pick up the account of what happened next after Jesus' ascension. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and they begin to speak in languages that they never learned. And all of the people, the Jewish pilgrims that were in town from all over the Roman Empire, they were there for the holy day of Pentecost. They were there for the holy day of Pentecost. What is the holy day of Pentecost? It is the day of Thanksgiving. It's the harvest of Thanksgiving. They did not have turkey. They did not have mashed potatoes and gravy. But this was a harvest of Thanksgiving, a time of Thanksgiving. And God picked that time when everybody was there of all the different languages and took that time to hear the disciples praising in their languages. And it really made them stand up and take notice. There they were. Luke will tell us how Peter preached the first sermon at this newborn church, and it turned into a church of 3,000. Now, this room will hold comfortably 1,000. Imagine someone giving a sermon, the first sermon in this building, and there's 1,000 people there. Maybe there's 1,000 people. The whole place is filled up. And the next time they come together, the whole building is filled up. The whole building will hold 3,000. That's what happened. It's amazing. It's phenomenal because of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't just walk forward. They didn't just raise their hand. There's nothing wrong with those things. And I'm telling you that I believe that there is a place. And I think that it is important for us to make a public declaration that we have given our lives to Christ. But they didn't just go forward, and they didn't just raise their hand. They were called followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus. They continued to follow. The Jewish council that had arranged the execution of Jesus got a little upset over what was going on. They thought that this was just a heretical Jewish movement that was, it'll fall down again. So they got upset about it, and what they did was they began to persecute the believers, taking them to trial, imprisoning them. And then at the trial of Stephen, Stephen's testimony so enraged them that they took him outside and they stoned him. This upset the people that were there in Jerusalem, and they began to leave Jerusalem. Where did they go? When they left, they took something with them, and what they took with them was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they took the gospel of Jesus Christ, they began to fulfill the last recorded words of Jesus, which we call the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, right out there, we have an offering box that is for our missionaries. And what scripture is on that box? 1:8. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we'll meet Saul while we go through this book, a Jew who was so zealous for God that he would hunt down and kill Christians. Until that day, his trip to Damascus, he found Christ. Jesus came to him. He meets Jesus and he converts to Christianity. And that's where we find him taking on his Roman name. Now he is known as Paul. And he would become the leader of a predominantly Gentile congregation in Syria. This was a man who was Jew of Jew. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and God said, I don't want you there because you know everything there. I want you to be in a place where you know nothing. And that's what God speaks to us a lot of times. We think, well, I can do that. And he said, good, I know you can. So that's why we're putting you over here, so that you have to depend on me. You have to allow me to lead your life. And so from there, that the prompting or the call of the Holy Spirit, he and Barnabas set out on a preaching tour. They go out to speak to the cities through Cyprus and through Western Turkey. And despite the resistance that came through the Orthodox Jews, it grew. People responded to the gospel, and Paul continued his traveling ministry for about 30 years, Paul would start congregations throughout the Roman Empire. He is eventually arrested in Jerusalem. He's sent to Rome for a trial that may have ended in execution. Why do I say it may have ended in execution? Because we don't know. You see, the Bible gives no account of what happened to Paul. History tells us that he was beheaded. But you see, the good news, the gospel, was not about Paul. It was about Jesus. And that's why I believe that we don't have that recorded in here. And so, as the book ends, Paul remains under house arrest in Rome, continues teaching others about Jesus, teaching anybody who will listen. But because Paul was obedient, coupled with the fact that many left Jerusalem out of fear, within the 30-year span, the Christians were worshiping in house churches throughout what is now Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and even Rome, which was over 2,000 miles away, because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We will learn about the job of the Holy Spirit, and we will be closing with this. Just as the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, filled Jesus at the beginning of his ministry in Luke 4:1, the Spirit also fills the apostles and other followers of Jesus, giving them supernatural power, wonder-working power, supernatural power that helps convince many of the truth of their message, and we'll come into that when we get into chapter 2. The Spirit will continue filling believers from all walks of life, not only performing wonders through them, but also helping them to make important decisions. And we'll come on that when we get into chapter 15 and 16. And we will be leaving, in this study, we will be leaving Paul and Silas in prison. But in the fall, we're going to begin with a new book and everything. We'll continue on through the book of Acts when we get into the fall time. In the meantime, Acts of the Apostles is what this study is called, and yet it is really the Acts of the Spirit of Christ working through the apostles. The Acts of the Spirit of Christ working through the apostles. This is because of Luke's emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He paid attention to what God told him. We've established that Luke is the author of it, and it was already established, but in the 20th century, archaeological discoveries confirmed that the timing was most likely around AD 62. But here's the central theme. The central theme is the resurrected Savior. The resurrected Savior is the central theme. And the general theme is to be witnesses to the world of the fact that he is our resurrected Savior. He is our resurrected Savior. He is asking us to be witnesses. So next week we begin in chapter 1. You've got some homework to do. I would encourage you, even though you looked at that book and you said, oh my gosh, look at the thickness of this thing. Just look at it and say, this is 16 weeks. This is 16 chapters. So you can do this. You can do this. God will give you the time to do it. And so, Father, I thank you, God, that you have spoken to us tonight. I thank you for your precious worship, Lord, that opportunity to worship you and to just dwell in your presence, Lord. And Father, you know it's the desire of my heart that I would impart your presence to other people. And I pray, Father, that that's what's happened tonight, that you would be glorified, Lord, that you would be lifted up, that you would be the one who gets all the glory, all the praise, all of everything belongs to you, God. Thank you for using us in a mighty way. Even those of us who say, well, God never uses me in a mighty way, even the smallest thing in obedience is a mighty way. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. I thank you, God, that we have had the opportunity to bask in your presence. And now in these small groups, Lord, may you be glorified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.